Let's go ahead and open our Bibles this evening, amen, to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter 3. All right, try your best to follow along, okay? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. It starts off like this, Ephesians 3:20. Dem aber, der weit über die Maßen mehr zu tun vermag, als wir bitten oder verstehen, gemäß der Kraft, die in uns wirkt. Verse 21. Ihm sei die Ehre in der Gemeinde in Christus Jesus auf alle Geschlechter der Ewigkeit der Ewigkeiten. Amen. All right, don't get nervous. I'm not speaking in tongues. We'll translate it here. We'll interpret it. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Thank you for their zeal for missions, and thank you for their desire to lift up your name right here in this community. Lord, I pray that you would please meet with us tonight as I endeavor to preach your word. I pray that you would direct my thoughts and direct my steps. Lord, direct my spirit that I would say things the way that you would want them to be said. Make your message clear, Lord, that we might understand what you are saying to us. Help us, Lord. And bless us with your presence, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we got to go fast, so please listen fast. Paul the Apostle had gone to the city of Ephesus on his missionary journeys, and he established a local, independent, Bible-believing Baptist church. It wasn't Baptist in name, but it was Baptist in doctrine. Amen. And so he left this church and went on, and then he was captured. Okay? When he preached, some people received that message and they were saved and they were baptized and they became members of a church and they were excited about serving the Lord. But for the majority of the people that heard Paul preach, they didn't take the message too kindly. They didn't really like his message. They hated it. It made them angry and it made them complain to the authorities at the time. And it made them accuse Paul of violating their laws to the point that Paul got in trouble with the law and became a fugitive. And then at some point he was apprehended. In verse number 1 it says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ." That's not just a figure of speech. He's not talking about how he's bound in some spiritual way. He is literally in prison. He is in custody. He is awaiting trial in Rome. The historians tell us that this letter was written the letter to the Ephesians, 1 year into his incarceration, into his imprisonment. By the fact that he was able to write this letter, this epistle, it lets us know that he had access to paper and pen, which was not like going down to the Dollar Tree. I mean, that was significant. This is a lot more likely to be a house arrest situation. He had some liberty. But a year or so into this incarceration, Paul had time to think. If you've ever been in prison, or if you know someone in prison or know about prison, one thing that prisoners have a lot of, it's time. Time to reflect. And so Paul is in prison and he's reflecting on his travels and he's reflecting on the people that he's been able to reach and influence. And he thinks about the Ephesians and identifies a problem. And we find that problem displayed in verse 13. "Wherefore I desire that ye," what's the word there? "Faint. I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." And so he's thinking about the Ephesians, and he's no doubt looking back on his life and what he has experienced, And in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, he gives us the laundry list of all that he's gone through as a result of preaching the gospel. Perils by beasts, perils by thieves, perils by his own countrymen, shipwrecked 3 times, stoned, and left for dead. In a judicial system where that was not that uncommon. Okay? All right, hey, somebody's out here trying to break into cars. Let's go get our rocks. Let's stone them to death. You would be like, what? No, that's weird. That's a little over the top. Okay, not so in this society. Hey, we got another one. What? What happened? What? Stoning. Oh, all right. Sweet. Man, I just got healed up from my last stone throwing. I'm not sore anymore. Old Faithful, right? They had their favorite stone, their favorite rock that they like to use during these kinds of judicial proceedings, right? This was how they handled criminality during this time. They knew how to get the job done. And they came pretty close. You ever had something thrown at your head? Usually, it's like an accident. Right, guys are playing basketball and it bounces the wrong way and it hits one of the teenage girls. Well, it was their own fault because they were standing in the wrong place, right? Or it was your own fault because you were standing in the wrong place. But Paul's experience with physical violence was not the result of an accident, of someone being careless or somebody not, you know, being off on their shot a little bit. No, it's they were throwing things to kill him because he was a preacher of the gospel. And so Paul is looking at that experience. That's pretty rough. And he's not only had this experience personally, but he's calling the people of Ephesus to follow him. To follow him and his message, the message that he brought of a crucified, resurrected Savior. The one that you heard and changed your life. The one that you heard and changed your eternity. And he's recognizing this path is filled with difficulty, and it has been for me, for Paul. And he's concerned, and he says, man, I hope you don't faint. Okay, that's, again, it's just for clarity, that's not speaking about physical, not enough blood coming to the brain and losing consciousness. That's talking about like the people you used to know. That used to come to church and stopped. They found something else to do. They found something that they thought was a better use of their time. I have had too many friends, good friends, close friends. I mean, heroes. At one point, they were strong, they were spiritual. Somewhere along the way, that call to the mission field, they're not there anymore. That call to be a pastor, they're not doing it. Those seats next to you that are empty. And the more that you spend time in church, the more that you'll see that. People who faint. And Paul gives us the keys to Christian power. The power that he found. I can't help but think of Paul as I read and consider all of the things that he went through. And just think of a tank. I mean, a tough, nothing stopping him. He just kept going forward. He just kept getting back up because God gave him a special kind of power. Verse 14 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I can't just gloss over that I've already mentioned it, but I'm going to mention it again. Because Paul was a man of prayer. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. He's talking about a request that he's making in prayer. Because apparently, Paul believed that prayer works. Man. You know those people who used to come to church and ain't here anymore? You think it's probably because they prayed too much? Yeah. We need to get a hold of more people and just tell, just you need to stop praying so much. It's a pretty safe bet. If people faint, if people drop out of church, if people give up on their calling, it's not the result of too much prayer. So how are we doing? Are we up and down? Missions conference. Revival. Right? Our spiritual health, our spiritual stability has a lot to do with our time in prayer. And we can talk a long time about that, but I'm going to go on. In verse 16, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We're not talking about machismo here. Just be tough, man. This new generation, I tell you what. Don't we just love to... I'm 34 years old. I can kind of start a little bit to talk like that now. Okay. Someday I'll be able to talk like that. These young whippersnappers, I tell you what, back in my day, that's not the toughness that we're talking about. That's not the strength that this generation needs to embody. The strength and the power that they need to understand and receive, that you need to know is available to you too, is found in Jesus Christ. And it's found right here in what we read in verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in what? Love. That doesn't sound so tough. That doesn't sound so macho. But that's exactly how Paul was able to be from an inch of his life and get up and keep on preaching the gospel. I mean, think about that for a second. Think about the power, the courage to get up with your bones broken and I don't know what kind of lacerations on his face or skull, and to get up and to just keep on going to the next town to preach the gospel. That's the kind of determination and power that Paul had. And that's the kind of strength that is available to us in Jesus Christ. If we just understand His love, it's right there. Look at verse 18. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the what? And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. You will never fully grasp in this finite body, in this finite mind that we have, that forgets where the keys are and forgets all other kinds of silly things, all there is to know about God's love for you. But the more you know, the more rooted you will be, the more rooted you will be in your life, the more stability you will find, because storms are coming. And sometimes it's those storms that cause people to faint. Diagnosis. Car trouble. Comes with a big bill. Discouragement in a relationship. Loss. Loneliness. Those are some strong storms. It hurts. And if you aren't rooted, you will
be more likely to faint, to lose sight, lose hope. Drive down that root. In reflecting that God loves you and accepting that God loves you, that's a lot easier said than done. And I believe a lot of Christians are stunted in their growth because they can't get over their guilt, because they don't realize, they intellectually realize it, but they don't realize that all of their sins are gone. And that his love for us isn't just a general, well, I can understand how he could love the world, but he loves me. And we have a harder time accepting that if we're honest. And many believers, I think I've seen this, I've noticed this, many believers struggle, especially when they fail or falter. I think that Paul, he had just such a simple realization, this root isn't moving. God's love for me isn't different today based on how I feel. And another thing that I think is vital to us understanding this is verse 1, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's a lot. And that's significant, but I don't have time to explain that further. According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the Yeah, I want to know God and stuff, but I don't really know about this whole organized religion thing. That's such a common thing today, and it's so disappointing how ignorant people are of God's word. You can't come to that conclusion by studying the Bible, because the church is God's idea, and the church is a vital part of you driving down your root, and you need to be connected in this local body and in this local assembly, because other people are watching you go through storms, and there's people here who are going through a storm or who've been through storms, and their testimony is an encouragement to us of what we can go through. And I just, in closing, want to tell you about Brother Bernie Moreno. He is the custodian at Hillcrest Baptist Church in El Paso, Texas, which is our sending church. And I remember seeing him years ago, and he'd always be running from here and there, fixing, and he just had energy. He's formerly been in the military. He's been in Hillcrest since the 1970s or 80s. And he was helping a church member, an elderly church member, while I was on staff there in 2013, switch over his AC from winter to summer, and he was up on the roof and the ladder lost its footing and it slipped, and he fell into the second roof and rolled down. And in El Paso we have these rock walls that kind of come to a point, there's just concrete, and his spine fell right on top of that wall and it severed his spinal cord. And we went to visit him in rehabilitation, and he told us a story about how the nurse came by and tried to give him some pills, and you know they had given him pain and medicine and stuff like that, and he said, well, what are these? And she said, oh, well, you're going to need those, they're antidepressants. And Brother Bernie, you know, he's not a doctor, but he said, I don't need these, I have the Lord. And, you know, it would be one thing for people to say that, but he had the joy of the Lord. You know what he did? He got in his wheelchair and kept cleaning and kept serving. This year, that was in 2013, this year he lost his wife. And you can imagine the help that she was to him. And I wasn't sure what to expect when I saw him this summer. Hey, Brother Bernie, how you doing?
Doing all right. Hey, there's work to do. Hey, good to see you, man.
It's awesome. He's rooted. Apparently, the Lord did something in his life that made a difference. And God's done something in your life. And we have no excuse no excuse. We just forget. And we lose sight of God's great love for us. Father in heaven, I thank you so much that you've shown us your love, and I thank you that you've called us to show your love to people in Germany, and I pray that you please help Valley Avenue Baptist Church not to forget all that you have done to show us, not just tell us about your love, but show us your love in our lives, in the ways that you have worked. Help us, Lord, now to be rooted. Even as economic uncertainties loom, even as moral decay is all around us, help us, Father, to be stable, to find the stability that is available to us if we'll just stay rooted in your great, unconditional, infinite love. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, let's have invitation.